smooth stone. Don't forget, the scripture said he picked five smooth stones up out of the water. And after he dropped them, he went to the giant, took the giant's sword out of his hand, and then severed his head, deprived him of his leadership, took his head off with his own sword. Took his head off with his own sword. David didn't have a sword, he just had a slingshot. Took his head off. The little boy, 12, defeats the mighty giant by going to the water, picking up five smooth stones, and selecting only one of those stones to slay. When we halal something, kill it, we say, Bismillah, only one God. And after we slay it, we say, Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. Right? So what do we slay with? One. One. What will slay all the falsehood in the world? One. La ilaha illallah. Al-Khaliqu kulli shay. The creator of everything. That destroys. And that is no new thing. That was in the scripture before, and I've shown you that. Praise be to Allah. How important the five is. And Muhammad the prophet, he said, take charge of five before five be your undoing. And he said, he named five, the things that we worried about, good health, etc. Don't put off to tomorrow what you know you should be doing today, etc. He gave us five principles or five points to look at. But what is this talking about? If Muhammad tells me to look out today for what I need, I should do, don't put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late. Look, take care of my health so I will have good health tomorrow. I will stay in good health and be functional. If Prophet Muhammad told me these things, what is he telling me? He could have stretched that list to 50,000. Didn't have to stop at five. There are many other things I should look at. I can add them to the list. Why he stopped at five? To tell us, take good charge of your common sense. Take good charge of your common sense. Respect your good common sense. And behave according to the dictates of your good common sense. Or you will you'll unestablish yourself. You will be your own undoing. You will contribute to your own failure, to your own destruction, if you don't do that. Now, centuries later, this new part of the world is discovered by Columbus and the others who they say discovered it. And the old world, they want to deny the new settlers here of their freedom to design a new life for themselves over here. And one of their great leaders rose up and awakened them in the name of what? Common sense. He wrote the Common Sense Papers and alerted the citizens over here in the new land and brought them together, rallied them together around the banner of respect for human common sense. That's how this world got established over here. That's how the United States government, this great society we got here, that's how it was freed, and that's how it was established, by people rallying around respect for good common sense. So what Muhammad gave us to hold, to cherish and hold precious for ourselves, proved to be the instrument in the new world, or in the time of this modern world, to open the way for its freedom. They came into a new sense of freedom. They were able to go forward with courage, respecting the common sense of man. The sense that all of us have in common. All of us don't have the elevation of those senses the same. because we haven't had the opportunity to be educated or to have cultural refinement in the same degree. But all of us have the precious property of the right, the good common sense. Quran revealed originally in 5 verses, al-Islam being structured upon 5 essentials, the declaration of the completion of religion, the perfection of religion, the perfection of religion, and the completion of religion, and God's word, own word, that He prepared this for us in the 5th chapter. It is no accident that all of these 5 are appearing in such meaningful context and relationship. So please, don't get spooked out. Don't follow superstition. Don't let some gurus come among you and some crazy people dressed all strange and come among you and enchant you and take you away from reality and have you floating in the air somewhere and you thinking that you're just like Allah want me. Now I'm just like Allah wanted me. No, you're lazy, but you've been taken away from your responsibility and you're just lazy. So you're happy in your dream world that this spook has given you. Wake yourself up and get back into the action. Accept your responsibility. And this is the message today. God obligates everyone in this religion to be a leader, male and female. You're not going to be able to go before God and excuse your shortcomings on somebody else. You're not going to be able to say, I would have done this, but Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, he gave us the impression that we were not supposed to do anything until he told us to do it. Or we were not supposed to do anything unless he okayed it. God is going to ignore that. That won't have any get any hearing in the court of God. You're going to have to answer for yourself. God is going to say, well, what did your common sense tell you? Say, well, my common sense told me I should have done this, God. To the hellfire you're gone. In my conclusion, we have to stop thinking of ourselves as just religion. We have to stop thinking of ourselves as people who have been made Muslim to read the Quran, to pray the Jummah prayer, and the other prayer, to do dhikr, to do hajj, to perform the rites and rituals. We have to stop thinking of ourselves as people in that limited focus. God has given us the picture of ourselves that He wants for us. God did not say you are a priestly order. There's no priestly order in Islam. There's no clergy, really. Technically speaking, there's no clergy. No one has to go to anybody to be made an imam or to be made a teacher of Islam. All you have to do is go to the sources of knowledge, the pure sources of knowledge for Islam. Study those sources and qualify yourself with the help of others or without their help. And once you're qualified, whether with their help or not without, the Muslims are supposed to recognize your qualification. And none of us are to question whether you should be our teacher or question whether you should lead the Jummah prayer. If the people want you there, saying, who was your teacher? We don't care who your teacher was. The proof is what you have learned and that you got it from the Quran and Muhammad's life. That's the proof. The proof is not who taught you or what school you went to. No. So we have no really clergy. We have no priesthood and no clergy in Islam, really, technically speaking. Anyone can aspire to leadership. And sisters, this is your day. It's not your day because it's not your day because we don't deserve it. It's your day because you deserve it. more than we deserve. You're the last to get your rights. You're the last to get your freedom. And you have done a great service to mankind as mothers and as advisors to little people and big people, to the poor man who does nothing but go in the field and gather what he planted. And you've given good advice, your good advice, to presidents, kings. You've helped save the world, but you didn't get your due credit until here recently in the history of mankind. So this is your day. And it's only our day, brother, if we support them. You want to get our day back? Support our women. Support our learned women. One brother told me, he said, yeah, Brother Imam. He said, I support what you're saying. I gave similar requests. I made a similar request at another audience here recently, to another audience here recently. And the brother said, I walk beside them, Brother Imam. I said, but will you walk behind them? Will you let the female take the lead? And you follow female. Sisters, I'm prepared to follow female. I'm prepared to follow female. It is my pleasure to follow a female leader. And believe me, the signs of the time that I'm reading tells me that the likelihood of a brother succeeding me in the leadership is much less than the likelihood of a sister succeeding me in the leadership. I know that's disappointing to a lot of you. What do I mean by that? What is my leadership? Is my leadership Imam W.D. Muhammad leading Jumu'ah prayer? No. We all are Imams now. Many of us equally qualified to lead Jumu'ah prayer. My leadership is my rational perception and my moral stance. My rational perception and my moral stance. That's my leadership. My leadership is my ability to point to the things that are more important in Islam so that we won't be busying ourselves with things of less importance and remain weak and unfit for the competition in the world with other communities. That's my leadership. Some of these sisters may have that better than you. Some of these sisters may be turned on to that more so than you. I find most of you brothers are not turned on to that. You're turned on to formality, regimentation, rote action, rather than thinking. You're looking for something moving. And you would jump in line with it. These sisters are looking for something digging, and they'll get a tool and dig with it. That's the difference. Now, really, you were made to dig, but most of you all don't dig. You just go with the flow. You go with the flow of things. So I believe that's why God says the male is not like the female. Laysa dhakaru kal-untha, and dhakaru means he uses his thinking. He thinks. Dhakarasma rabbi isma rabbihi fasalla. He remembers the name of his Lord and he prays. So dhakar is his ability to think and recall. To think and recall. And God says and the male is not like the female. So it's telling us that it's typical of men to think and recall and work things out. That's typical of men. Why? Because females were kept home because of their physiology. They have to be tied up 9 months carrying a baby and then tied up for months more till that baby is weaned from them. So they're tied up at home. You're free to go out in the field, and you go out in the field, you see much more than she sees. So your thinking is bombarded with so many more things than her brain is bombarded with. So you became the thinker. for her, the thinker for her. For God wants you to know that you are not thinker because she can't think. You are thinker because you were put in a situation that favored you thinking more than her situation favored her thinking. That's why God revealed, and the thinking men and the thinking women. Yes, with the karate sisters and the thinking women. Allahu Akbar. So this old world has targeted the world of sin, lies, corruption, oppression, have targeted the male to kill us off. And their arrows of corruption, sinful enticement, drugs, and everything else that they fired at us, vanity, has fired at us. So we have been their target. And they fired at us and ignored our women, left our women. Just as is given in the scriptures before, and they killed off their women, or their men, and saved their women alive. So the same thing has happened in this time of this great wave of corruption that has swept over the whole world now. It has taken our men down, and our hope is in our women. Not that we're going to give it up, sister. We're not going to give it up. I'm not telling the brothers to give up anything. You're going to get it by proving yourself more qualified than the brothers. That's the only way to get it. You're going to get it in the competition. And it should be a competition of believers, competition of brothers and sisters, a competition involving lovers of each other. Yes, we believe in God, we believe in Muhammad, we trust our brothers and sisters, and we love our brothers and sisters. And that should be the spirit of our competition. And if you excel and you become the one that this community recognizes as having the best ability to articulate, to speak the wisdom, the knowledge, and to guide us and to lead us into the future, I'm telling these brothers, if you don't accept her, Allah gonna cut you out of it. If God give us a female leader and you don't accept her, God is gonna cut you out of it. And she'll have plenty followers without you. Yes, I'm telling you that, I'm warning you. Praise be to Allah. Don't think that Islam, the society of Islam, is a society left for the males to manage only. No, that's wrong thinking. I don't believe there's another follower of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, that has contributed as much as Aisha has contributed to the understanding of Islam and to the understanding of the Prophet. Aisha, a woman, his wife, after Khadija, his wife. May God be pleased with her. So let's remember those things. And even scholars now, because of tradition, the Muslim scholars now, they have no prejudice or no hesitation to accept what is given as guidance or understanding from Aisha, the female. May God be pleased with her. No problem at all. And that's the way it should be. It should be understood too. We should make note of the fact that India, Pakistan, pardon me, voted a female into the presidency, and probably will do it again. And there are other Muslim nations that have voted female into the presidency. So if the man is a khalifa and females are not to be the head of state, then we ought to go to these countries and ask them on what Quranic basis or what Islamic ground did you all select a female to be your leader of your nation? We should ask them that. But I think your good common sense checks you. Thank God for good common sense. God says to us, in addition to telling us he completed, perfected, and completed the religion for us and preferred it for us, in addition to that, he tells us that we are a community. We don't have to ask, we don't have to guess about what we are. Allah has said clearly to us what we are. Are we prayer rug sellers? Have God given us this religion for us to sell prayer rugs to the world? Have God made us merchants of merchandise, goods, economics, whatever? Have God made us activists to challenge nations, governments, and their ideas? No. Perhaps God had done all of that when he said to us, "Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat lin-nas." You are the best of communities, evolved or raised up for the benefit of all people. So God tells us what he made us. God made us a community. That means that I cannot fulfill the requirements of my religion. I cannot answer completely what my religion asks of me until or unless I am devoted to community and serving the betterment of community life for human beings. Because that's what God says he made us. "Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat lin-nas." You are the best of communities, brought out or evolved for the good of all people. For the good of all people. If we concentrate now on building our community life, we will bring out the best in all of us. Whatever I want to become in my individual life, with my personal aspirations, I have to become that if with are given the opportunities for me in society. So now if I have an effort going for me and all the people that's with me in my faith are obligated to support that effort, and that effort is to make a society before me that will invite my best contribution, that will welcome my best contribution. Look how the circumstance has been made so beautiful for me now to live the fullest of my personal aspirations, to live my personal aspirations to the fullest. It's not the same if I give up this obligation to support Islamic community life and I be satisfied just to let Jews or Christians or others design the public for me, the public scene for me. So when I go to the public scene to be employed, naturally it's not as accommodating, it's not as open, it's not as inviting, it's not as welcoming as it would be if it was an Islamic public. Well, how can you have an Islamic public in a nation that's not Islamic? I can have it because in the United States of America, the nature of the society is quite different from what it is in practically the whole world, all over, any place else in the world. In this society, everybody has a right to influence the life of the public and to shape the life of the public and design the life of the public. Everybody has this right. This is a right of freedom. And I don't think most of us have nearly perceived what freedom is in America. I don't think we have. We think of freedom from slavery, but we don't think of freedom as free people. What about freedom as free people? The freedom of the free, that's the real freedom. The freedom of the slave is a little freedom, a small freedom, but the freedom of the free is a big freedom. And now we're not slaves anymore, we're the free. So we should study what is the freedom of the free. The freedom of the free in America is the right to challenge the Constitution of the United States. And if you can get enough support from the citizens of the United States to rewrite a constitution for this land, the provision for you to do that is already given in the Constitution of these United States. What is freedom of the free in these United States? It's the freedom to design a new way of life if we want to, for the people of this country. And if we can convince the intelligent, decent majority that this will be good for America, we can change the shape and nature of the whole society if we want. Never have an idea that have been created or vision that permits man to do as much with his own life as the Quran and second to the Quran, the idea of the founding fathers for this new world society we call America. So let us wake up. It's time to wake up. Wake up. Here I am, the son of a man who got no more education than three grade school years in the South, in the fields of the work fields of Georgia. He was born in Sandersville, Georgia. Here I am, the son of that man, and the son of a mother who only got 7 years elementary school education. My mother Clara told me with all mouth, she said, "Son, I really wanted to finish the elementary school." She said, "But my parents took me out of school and put me in the field before I could finish elementary school." She wasn't dumb. Son of Elijah Muhammad wasn't dumb. He wasn't retarded. He wasn't a thick-headed person. He was a brilliant man. Brilliant man. He could have become a doctor of law, a doctor of politics, or whatever. He could have got his doctorate degree in many fields of knowledge of science if he had been favored with the opportunity. I know that because I knew his mental ability. I sit at the table with him and I saw what he could do with his mind. I knew he had exceptional mental ability. He could have been that, but he wasn't. Here I am, the son of that man. The son of that man and the son of that woman. And I have been given an audience with some of the greatest, the biggest people on this earth. Not given an audience because I asked for it. Given an audience because they heard about me and valued what has happened in my life so much that they wanted me to come and be in their castle. They wanted me in their president's quarters. They wanted me there. That's no ordinary thing. That's no ordinary thing. Here I am now, free to go with the heads of state, to be in their company, be accorded the respect that they are accorded, to have your voice heard through me at the round table of the best minds in this society. That's no ordinary thing that has happened. So that should tell you that you have been blessed and you should not look back except to appreciate where you are more. That's the only way I look back. I look back, I'm looking back to appreciate where I am a little more. I'm looking back to say thank you for aiding me to get where I am now. That's the only reason I'm looking back. I'm not looking back to go back. I'm not looking back to worship what's back there. No, what's before me is so much bigger than that. The light ahead of me, in front of me, is so much brighter than the light behind me. But I'm grateful, as Allah says, and be grateful to God. And be grateful to your parents, to your mother who bore you, through fainting and fainting, fainting after fainting, and then weaning you from her in 2 years. Huh? Be grateful to your parents and grateful to God. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God, and I'm grateful to my parents. And I live with my parents in spirit all the time. Yes, all the time. I live with memories of my mother, that's what I mean. My spirit wants me to live with memories of my mother. I live with memories of my mother. I can't go in the kitchen and cook anything. I love to cook. I can't cook without thinking of my mother. And when I'm cooking, I thank my mother. I say, "Thank you, Mama." I say, "Allahumma ighfirlah wa rahamha. وادخلها الجنة يا رب العالمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أحسن الخالقين." I say, "Oh Allah, forgive her for whatever she was guilty of or wrong, and have mercy on her, and cause her to enter the paradise. Oh, you who are most merciful of all that is merciful, the best of all creators." That's what I say. I'm saying that often in the day. I cook, I be sad. I remember my mother. And when I remember my mother, I start to think I imagine that my father might be getting a little jealous. I say, Allahumma ghafir lahu wa rahamhu wa rkhulhu al-jannata ya rabbil alameen. Ya ahsan al-khaliqin. Ya rabbil alameen. I say it for him, too. Yes. Knowing him, he, if there's any way to break into the gates, he'd break into the gates. But my brother would wait to be invited. Now, dear brothers and sisters, can't you see that I have finished my subject? I'll explain it to you. If you establish the model Muslim life as a community model, that means you have to have brothers and sisters living next door to each other, Muslims living next door to each other, with stores to support their needs, their consumer needs, with some manufacturing going on somewhere to provide for consumer goods, with some access to overseas factories so you can import things and compete with this market, because this market is a one world market now. You can't get anywhere just having U.S. made stuff. You ain't gonna get anywhere, you're not gonna go anywhere with that. So you need all of this nucleus for growing more ummah, expanding the life of the ummah. That's what you're here obligated to do. And that means you're obligated to have role and responsibility for public life as well as private life. Who's gonna have it? You mean tell me we African Americans gonna say we have no right to be responsible for the public life and let everybody else come in here? Just yesterday they come in here, they hardly know how to speak to us in English, and they getting a piece of the public life and deciding what you're gonna do in this public sphere here. They deciding with their money, with their investments. Can you tell me we ain't gonna have the right? Something is terribly wrong with our thinking, if that's our thinking. But I don't think it is. I'm trusting your good common sense. Peace. Let's build a great society. And if we build a great Muslim society, taking responsibility for a part of the public scene and build a great Muslim society here in America, it will be the best and most powerful dawah that the world has seen since the time of Muhammad the Prophet himself on this earth. Peace and blessing be upon him. Yes, it will. It will be more powerful than the picture of Hajj, with 2 million or 3 million people going to Hajj from all over the world, making Hajj there. Showing that picture on TV, and then showing us have established model community life, have proven that we can be responsible for providing public life for people. That will convince people high and low, and the message will go so far and broad that people will come just to see us, and they will marvel over what God has done, because it will be God's miracle. When it happens, it's going to be God's miracle. Yes. They will marvel, and big shots will come and take their shahada. Right in our little quarters, right in our shop, they might say, yes, I want to buy this, but is any who can tell me how to become a Muslim? Yes. You talking about tourist attraction? There'll be no tourist attraction greater than ours. And it's in our people's spirit and soul to have this. You remember Soul City? That's proof that our people wanted. He didn't want just a storefront. He wanted a city. Called it Soul City. It didn't work. Wasn't because it was wrong. It was because it was not time. And the Muslims were not in the forefront of it. I say in the forefront of it. Why I say that? Because we're going to welcome Christians to be our neighbors. We don't want to put them out. We welcome them to live next door to us. If they can stand to hear that van like I stand to hear church bells ring. On 61st in Michigan, we lived at 6116 Michigan. There was a big Catholic church on one corner and a big Presbyterian church on the other corner. And they both would be ringing out sometimes and sound like they were in a concert. Yeah, because one bell, right, they rang differently. They didn't ring the same. One was ding, ding, and another was dong, dong. So every day I heard that concert going on. So if they can live with the band next door to them like I live with the church bell, welcome. And we'll treat them just like we treat each other. We give them the same break. We won't be, God, we remember what God says in the Quran. They don't sell to these people because they are not of your faith. And say, I have no obligation to be fair with them because they are not Muslims. Thank you very much. And this will be the greatest dialogue, too. You know, we need to have the Christian dialogue with the Christian, dialogue with the Jews. You want to really have powerful dialogue with them, brothers and sisters? Let us build the nucleus for an Islamic model public community life. Thank you very much. Peace. May God forgive us our errors. Increase us in knowledge and the right guidance. Without his guidance, there is no guidance for us. Have mercy on us, our Lord. Amen.
For more on the ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-798-6750 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. Or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.